Conference 130, tape number 103. Tuesday evening general session. Elizabeth Elliott Grin.
Pleasure to welcome to this conference and to the pulpit this evening, Mrs. Elizabeth Elliott Grin.
很高兴今天晚上能够在这里介绍 Elizabeth Grin 女士.
Former missionary to the Arco Indians in Ecuador.
她从前在厄瓜多尔的 奥卡人印第安人当中侍奉
Mrs. Grin is an outstanding speaker, author, and host of the daily radio program Gateway to Joy.
Grin女士 她是一个很出色的讲员 也主持一个广播的节目
And need I say she needs no further introduction
她不需要再更多的介绍
but only our warmest welcome
我们欢迎她
各位好
That's a word I thought I was going to remember, but I couldn't.
我以为我会记得这个问安的中国话,
但是还是忘掉了。So I wanted to hear it again.
所以我再次听中文怎么说。
It is a great privilege for my husband and me to be here.
我先生和我能够在这里觉得非常的荣幸。
And he has told me that there's already some confusion about our names.
他说不过来到这里好像对我们的怎么样称呼好像有点搞不清楚。
And I don't want you to think that I am a feminist who refuses her husband's name.
我也不要各位误解我是这个女权运动人拒绝冠夫姓。
So my name is actually Elizabeth Grin.
所以我的正式的名称是 Elizabeth Grin.
But my husband gets called Mr. Elliot quite often.
我先生常常被人称作Elliot先生。
He says he's Mr. Elliot the third.
他说他是Elliot三代。
But I simply want to explain that the only reason I keep the Elizabeth Elliott name in public is because I write under that name.
我要解释为什么我公开用 Elizabeth Elliott, 因为我用这个名字写书多年。
Publishers really don't like authors to keep changing their names.
出版商不愿意作者老是换名字，搞不清楚是谁了。
Some of you have already spoken to me about having read some of my books.
在座有一些人已经跟我说过，看过一些我写的书。
And I'm very grateful for that.
我很感谢主。
My husband does have a book table out here, and you might want to know what my most recent book is.
我先生在外面也有一个书桌，各位也许有兴趣知道我最新的一些书。
It's called The Shaping of a Christian Family.
这本书是讲一个基督化家庭的塑造。
It's the story of the home in which I grew up.
这是讲到我成长的一个家庭。
And the reason I wrote it is that I meet many young parents who want to establish a Christian home.
我写书的理由是因为碰到很多刚做父母的，他们希望建立一个基督徒的家庭。
But if they didn't come from one, they don't know how to begin.
但是如果他们不是出生于基督徒家庭，他们就不晓得怎么样建立一个基督化家庭。
So I have simply described the way one couple did it.
所以我就是简单的描述有一对夫妇他们怎么样建立一个基督化家庭。
I think it's fairly easy for us in a missionary conference to imagine that we love God and the world.
参加这样子的差传大会，我们很容易有一个错觉，以为我们很爱神，也很爱世人。
And we can flatter ourselves to think that we love him, but it is really in a very vague and large way.
我们飘飘然以为我们很爱神，其实是很模糊的。
But truly to love God requires a whole person's response.
但是要真正的爱神，是要我们全人的回应。
Jesus calls us to himself and asks us to be disciples.
主耶稣选召我们属于他，做他的门徒。
And the conditions for discipleship are not easy.
而门徒的条件并不简单。
They were not popular in Jesus' day. They're certainly not any more popular today.
在耶稣那个时代并不是很容易的，今天也是一样。
In the past couple of weeks, we've had plenty of opportunity to contemplate the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ.
在过去这个几个礼拜里面，我们有机会想到主耶稣怎么样降卑自己。
When we think of that Christmas story, We can't help but think of poverty.
当我们想到圣诞节的故事的时候，我们一定会想到贫穷的事情。
Of the subjection of his parents to civil law.
想到这个父母怎么样守当时的法律的要求。
Of that dirty and probably cold stable.
我们会想到又脏又冷的那个马槽。
Of the incredibly narrow limits of his mother's womb and of those swaddling clothes.
我们也会想到在母腹里面是那么样小，那么受限制，生下来被布包起来又是那样子的捆绑。
But that little baby was the Word made flesh.
可是这个小小的婴孩就是上帝道成肉身。
The Ancient of Days, the Lord of the Universe.
这是全地的主宰。
And it says the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
圣经说，道与神同在，道就是神。
And it helps me sometimes to remember something about the size of the universe when I think of my Lord.
当我想到我的主的时候，有的时候也帮助我能够想到这个宇宙的大小。
I read that there are probably at least 10 billion galaxies.
从文章资料里面知道，大概宇宙有100亿个银河系统。
Perhaps 200 billion universes that have already been discovered.
可能已经有2000亿个这个宇宙被发现。
And each cell in the human body contains 200 trillion molecules.
我们每一个人的细胞里面有200 trillion， 我就说不出来的，亿兆亿万的这个分子。
It's a lot anyway.
反正很多很多。
His fingers created those.
神的手造这一切。
And he left his heavenly home and came down and became an ordinary human baby.
但是耶稣就离开他天上的家，来到地上，成为一个看起来普普通通的小婴孩。
And we can hardly contemplate that helpless infancy without marveling at the unusual way in which God does things.
当我们想到他是那样一个无助的婴孩的时候，我们免不了也想到上帝行事的奇妙。
Never according to our expectations.
绝不是照着我们的想象和期望来做事的。
And if we're going to think tonight about our response to the gift and call of Jesus Christ, I would like us to think about three things.
今晚上如果我们要想到耶稣所给的恩赐和呼召，我就想到有三方面。
If we're going to follow him who came to earth to save us,
如果我们要跟随这个来到世上拯救我们的主的脚中而行的话，
It's going to mean sacrifice and suffering and obedience.
那就是要在牺牲、受苦和顺服这三方面。
Think of the sacrifice that he made when he made himself nothing, as it says in Philippians 2.
就像腓立比书第二章讲的，他虚己，这是他的牺牲。
And Jesus said, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
耶稣自己也讲到，我来是照着圣经上的话，要来做神的旨意。
That meant a total self-abandonment.
这表示是一个完全的自我舍弃。
A relinquishment of all his rights.
放下自己一切的权利。
He who is God by nature became a slave.
他本来是神，但是却成为一个奴仆。
His gift was first of all to his father.
他的礼物，他的献上，先是对天父。
He gave himself utterly and without reserve to the will of the Father.
他向父神的旨意完全没有保留地献上自己。
And when we say that we want to follow him, we must follow him in the same way.
如果我们说我们要跟随主，我们就要在这样子的方面跟随他。
He not only gave himself to his father, but he gave himself to us, to you and me.
耶稣不只是把自己给天父，也给了你我这些世人。
And you remember that when he called disciples, he said, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself.
我们记得耶稣对要跟随他人说，如果要跟从我，就要放下你的权利，舍己来跟从我。
That was the first condition, which is sacrifice.
所以第一个条件就是牺牲。
And he said you must also take up your cross, the second condition, which is suffering.
耶稣说要舍己，第二呢，要背起自己的十字架，就是受苦。
And the third, you must follow me, which means obedience.
然后来跟从我，就是要顺服主。
I was speaking one time, and afterwards there were questions and answers.
有一次我讲到完以后，有一个问题的解答。
And a man asked a question which really took my breath away.
有一个人啊问一个问题就把我问住。
He said, you keep telling us that we should obey God.
他说你一再强调我们要顺从上帝。
Why?
为什么？
I hardly knew what to say.
我一下就答不上来。
He's the one who made us. He loves us. He died for us.
是神造我们，他爱我们，他为我们而死。
I don't really believe that you would be at this conference if you didn't have some desire to be a disciple.
如果你不是有心想做主的门徒，我想你也就不会来这个大会了。
So.We know that if we are going to participate in Jesus Christ's work of redemption, we're going to have to participate in what he did.
所以如果我们要有份于主救赎的工作，我们就要有份于主自己怎样做事。
You've heard two testimonies tonight from two servants of God.
今天晚上我们听了两个神的仆人的见证。
What ambition should any of us have beyond being a good and faithful servant.
除了我们做神一个忠心良善的仆人以外，我们还能够有什么样子的雄心呢？
And our Lord and Master said more than once, the servant is not greater than his Lord.
我们的主不止一次说，仆人不能高过主人。
Sometimes I've given the opportunity to speak to young people who are planning to go out on short-term missionary service.
有的时候我有机会向一些准备参加短宣出外的年轻朋友讲道。
And I can certainly understand how much fun it must be to go overseas, exotic places for maybe 2 weeks or 6 weeks.
啊，我可以想象能够到海外去啊，不管是两个礼拜、六个礼拜，这是蛮好玩的。
And when they're asking me for advice, I don't really know what they're expecting me to say.
当他们要我给他们一些忠告的时候，我不晓得到底他们想听什么。
Usually the first thing I say to them is, don't even think of going as a missionary without a servant heart.
我常常第一个反应就是告诉他们，如果你没有仆人的心，你根本压根就不要想要出去做宣教士。
A servant has no rights and no will of his own.
做仆人的没有自己的权利，也没有自己的意识。
A servant is totally at his master's disposal.
仆人要完全听命于他的主人。
Amy Carmichael, that great missionary to India, said there is no calculating the value of a missionary who is willing to do anything that needs to be done.
贾爱梅在印度的宣教士他说过，一个宣教士愿意为主做任何的事情，就没有什么好去计算价值的事了。
But we live in a time when everybody likes to have a job description written out on paper.
但是今天在社会上工作，每个人都要有你的一个职掌说明，白纸黑字写下来。
And I hear young people say, "Well, I'm going to Africa or China, and I'm going to do this and this and this."
我听到年轻人说，我要到非洲或者我要到中国做宣教士，我要做这个这个这个。
And sometimes I sort of smile and say, "Well, I've got news for you."
有的时候听了以后，我就微笑说，我有新闻要告诉你。
You're probably going to do.Fourth and fifth and sixth things that you haven't thought about.
我说你很可能要做的是你没想到的第四、第五、第六的事情。
I went to Ecuador in 1952 as a missionary.
1952年我到厄瓜多尔做宣教士。
And I was very clear about the fact that I was going to be a linguist and a Bible translator.
那时候很清楚，我到那边去要做一个语言学家，帮助来翻圣经。
And I had not been in Ecuador very long, I think just about 6 months, when we counted up about 20 missionaries that had left the field just in that time.
我们到了那个地方不到六个月，我已经计算离开宣教工厂已经有20多个宣教士了。就在那么短短的时间里。
And the reason that some of them were leaving was that they were not given the job that they had come to do.
他们离开的理由是因为原来告诉他们要去做什么，但是去的做的不是他们所想的事情，所以他们就走了。
They were disappointed. They were angry.
失望、愤怒。
And some of them were very bitter.
有的人是很怨毒。
And I began to realize that.The commitment that I had made way back when I was 12 years old was a commitment to Jesus Christ.
我就想到我还在12岁的时候，所对上帝的委身是对耶稣基督献上自己。
And we need to keep that crystal clear in our minds. To whom have I committed my life?
在我们的心里面要非常的清楚，到底我们是委身于谁。
Is it to a job, a place, a mission board, a sort of work?
是一个工作，是一个地方，是一个差会，是某一种事情。
Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you."
耶稣说，父怎样差遣我，我也照样差遣你们。
Jesus was prepared to be a slave, a servant of his Father.
耶稣是。准备要做父上帝的奴仆。
So the word commitment means a total self-abandonment.
所以委身的意思也就是自我完全的舍弃。
I remember the verse, the reference that Jim Elliot wrote in my yearbook way back when we were college students.
我还记得我们在大学时候Jim Elliot 在我的年刊上纪念册上写的一些话。
Some of you may have read the love story of Jim Elliot and me, entitled Passion and Purity.
可能有人读过关于我们之间感情的这个故事，这个书的标题是 Passion and Purity.
And if so, you may remember that toward the end of my senior year, I had found myself falling madly in love with this very handsome man.
各位可能从那个书里面会知道，在我4年级的时候，我已经是深深的堕入情网，爱上这个英俊的年轻人。
So I, along with a lot of other girls, was very hopeful that Jim Elliot would write something besides just his autograph in my yearbook.
所以我跟其他的女孩子一样的，很希望他在我的年刊上面不只是签名，还会特别写几句话。
Well, he did. He wrote Jim Elliot with 2 Timothy 2:4 underneath.
他确实写他的名字，然后下面写提摩太后书2:4。
I had no idea what 2 Timothy 2:4 said, but you can imagine it did not take me very long to get my Bible.
我不晓得提摩太后书2:4写什么，但是我迫不及待就打开圣经来看到底说什么。
And the verse that I found there defined discipleship as Jim Elliot understood it.
我所看到的这些圣经节，也就是我所了解的 Jim Elliot 对门徒的定义。
It says there, a soldier on active service will not become entangled in civilian affairs.
那个时候，凡在军中当兵的，不叫事务缠身。
He must be wholly at his commanding officer's disposal.
他要完全接受他的司令的指挥。
We need to think of the Lord of the universe and of ourselves as utterly, completely, totally disposable.
我们要想到这个宇宙的主宰，相对之下，我们是100%的任凭他处置。
Let God take care of the consequences of our obedience.
让上帝来负责我们顺服的后果吧。
Now the first place that God gave me the privilege of working was a little tribe in the western jungle of Ecuador.
那我在宣教工厂最先的一个机会是在厄瓜多尔西部的丛林里面的一个小部落。
I was still single. Jim Elliot was working in another tribe on the eastern side of the Andes Mountains.
我还没有结婚，我在西边，而 Jim Elliot 在安第斯山的东边。
And I had the privilege of working with the Colorado tribe and reducing their language to writing.
啊，我和这个 Colorado 这族人啊，在那里啊研究，然后要把他们的语言做成文字。
But I had not been working very long before the man who was helping me with this job was murdered.
啊，我工作不久，帮助我工作的那个人就被杀死了。
This seemed to me like a very strange way for God to help a missionary.
这个看起来是很奇怪的，上帝这样帮忙一个宣教士啊。
Before I had gone to the field, one of the verses that God had given me was Isaiah 50, verse 7, the Lord God will help me.
在我到宣教工厂之前，我得到的一些圣经的话是以赛亚书里面说，上帝要帮助。
Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed.
所以当我对这目标照着神的意思走的时候，我晓得我一定不会羞愧。
Does this seem like a strange way for God to help a missionary to you?
你听起来会觉得上帝让这个助手死掉是一个帮忙宣教士的好办法吗？
Let's remember that God sent his son in the form of a tiny, helpless baby. A strange way to begin his redemptive work.
让我们想到上帝差他的儿子来是成为一个微小的婴孩，这是上帝救赎工作的一个很奇怪的开始。
Well, before that year was over, all of my language materials were stolen.
在我宣教工厂的第一年还没有结束的时候，我所有的这个啊语言学的东西通通被偷掉。
This was way back before there were any Xeroxes or tape recorders.
这是还没有发明影印机或者录音机之前的事情。
So there were no copies of anything.
所以我除了原件以外，没有另外的副本。
I had thousands of 3x5 cards, there were notebooks, there were charts, it was all gone.
我有成千的这个读书卡，还有笔记，通通不见。
Now that for a young missionary is a major loss.
对一个年轻的宣教士，这是一个极大的损失。
But as far as I knew, I had gone there in obedience to Jesus Christ, and I had done the job which I believed he had asked me to do.
但是我所知道的是，我顺从主的吩咐，我也做他要我做的事情了。
And there it was, apparently all down the drain.
显然这下通通泡汤了。
Would your response be, "Why, Lord?"
在这样情况里面，你会怎么样回应呢？你是不是会问说，主啊，为什么？
Well, of course, that's exactly what I thought when my informant was killed and when my language materials disappeared. Why, Lord?
当然，这也是我的反应。我的助手被杀死了，我的所有的资料都掉了。我第一个反应说，主啊，为什么会这样？
He didn't give me an explanation. He said, "Trust me."
上帝并没有解释为什么，他只说相信我。
He reminded me of the prayer of Betty Scott Stamm, that missionary to China.
他让我想起有一个到中国的宣教士的一个祷告。
Betty Scott had visited in our home when she was on her way to China to marry her fiancé, John Stamm.
Betty Scott 在要到中国嫁给她的未婚夫John Stamm 之前经过我的家乡。
And the prayer that she had prayed, I copied into my Bible when I was 12 years old.
在我12岁的时候，我就把她的这个祷告写在我的圣经上。
Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life.
主啊，我放弃我一切的计划和我人生的目标，我一切人生的希望和我的渴望，单单接受你的旨意。
I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee to be thine forever.
我把我的自己，我的生命，我的一切完全的给你，永远的给你。
Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit.
求你用圣灵充满我，也用圣灵做我的印记。
Use me as thou wilt.
照你的旨意来用我。
Send me where thou wilt.
照你的旨意差我到任何的地方。
And work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever.
无论是现在或者将来，无论要任何的代价，让你的旨意在我的生命里面能够成就。
And many of you, I'm sure, have heard the story of how Betty Scott Stamm and her husband John were beheaded by Chinese communists.
各位可能知道这对宣教士夫妇后来怎么样被共产党砍头。
That made a very deep impression on my 8-year-old mind.
在我8岁的幼小的心灵里面，这是一个 极深的印象。
And so it was not thoughtlessly that I copied that prayer into my Bible when I was 12.
所以当我十二岁的时候，把所知道这个祷告写在圣经上，并不是漫不经心的。
Jesus said, "If you want to be my disciple, you give up your right to yourself."
耶稣说，如果你们要做我的门徒，你就要放弃你自我的权利。
And you take up your cross and you follow.
背起你的十字架来跟随我。
Sacrifice, suffering, and obedience.
牺牲、受苦、顺服。
Those are three necessary conditions for a disciple.
这是做门徒必要的条件。
You remember how when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was mocked with these words. He saved others. Himself he could not save.
我们记得耶稣被钉在十字架上的时候，下面人在讥笑他说，他救别人，他不能救自己。
And although those words were spoken with deepest scorn, they were true.
他们这样子来讥笑耶稣，但是事实是如此。
The servant is not greater than his Lord.
仆人不能够高过主人。
Jesus Christ could not save himself and save you and me at the same time.
耶稣基督不能要救我们而同时保全自己。
Nor can you and I save ourselves and participate in his redemptive work.
你我一样的，不能想一方面要救自己又同时要有份他的救赎的工作。
I read in my Bible that everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God.
在我的圣经里，我读到主的话，万事互相效力，叫爱神的人得益处。
I get many letters from people telling me their sad stories and saying, I don't see how this fits into a pattern for good.
我收到很多人写信，讲到他们自己的伤心的事情。然后他们不明白这个怎么可能符合圣经说的万事互相效力。
Who of us doesn't have a story that we cannot understand how it could fit into a pattern for good?
话说回来，我们当中又有谁没有这样子的奥秘？有一些事情我们无法解释，这个到底对我有什么好处呢？
These people ask me to explain to them how, and I always write back and say, we need not know how, we only know that it does.
这些人写信给我，要我告诉他们这个怎么能够解释呢？我的回信常常是说，我们不需要知道怎样解释，我们只要知道这个事实，就是确实叫爱神人得益处。
When God has given us His inspired and unchangeable word, we have to hang our souls on that word.
当上帝给我们他圣灵感动的这个不会改变无误的话的时候，我们就是要把我们的生命完全信赖投注在他的话语上。
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
草必枯干，花必凋谢，但是神的话长存不变。
We have bargained for a cross. We have accepted the principle of sacrifice.
我们接受了牺牲的这个原则，但是就实际上方面，我们常常要跟神讨价还价。
And I think.If you're anything like me, you can imagine some sort of heroic sacrifice.
如果你们像我一样，可能你会想象这个牺牲也是很有英雄气概的。
Wouldn't we all say, "Oh yes, I would love to die for Jesus Christ"?
我们有时候也会在里想，我愿意为耶稣基督而死。
Become a true martyr, as were John and Betty Stamm, for example.
就好像 John 跟 Betty Stamm 他们成为殉道者一样。
God doesn't give to very many of us a privilege like that.
上帝并没有给许多人有那样殉道的这个特权。
He is asking us today, on this particular day, to give up our right to ourselves, perhaps in little things.
但是上帝要求我们今天为他而放下我们的权利，也许只是在微不足道的事情上面开始愿意放下。
He calls us to sacrifice and to suffering.
他呼召我们牺牲受苦。
And if we don't learn to trust him in the midst of our small sufferings, our petty trials, what will we do if a big one comes along?
如果我们在小小的事情上，小小的一点麻烦跟苦头上面，我们不能信靠他，那么大的苦难遭遇到的时候，我们会怎么会信靠他呢？
As I said at the beginning of my talk, we sometimes imagine that we love God and the world in a rather vague and large way.
我一开始的时候就讲到，我们常常以为我们爱神，其实我们观念很模糊。
But we can only test the quality of our love by looking at the cross.
我们只有钉钉十字架的时候，才能够了解我们的爱是要受什么样子的考验。
We can think of the lash, the crown of thorns, the mockery, the stripping.
我们可以想到耶稣受的鞭伤，荆棘冠冕砸入他的头，四周人对他的讥笑，这一切的羞辱。
And realize with spiritual understanding that life has the equivalence of all of these for all of us.
然后我们从灵异方面可以了解，其实人生我们每一个人也都遭受这一切。
Do we accept them in the particular way in which God offers them to us?
但是我们是不是接受这一切，了解是神特别量给我们，为我们所安排的。
Here is the test.
所以考验是在这里。
We look at the cross, we look at our response to our difficulties. And we have some idea of the quality of our love.
我们看着十字架，看着我们所受的苦，我们就会了解我们对神的爱到底真实的情形如何。
Sacrifice, suffering, and obedience.
牺牲、受苦和顺服。
Now we can begin by making our lives a living sacrifice, as Paul says in Romans 12:1.
我们可以像保罗在罗马书十二章第一节所说的，献上身体做活祭来开始。
This is an explicit, voluntary act of the will.
这是有形的，甘心乐意的一个顺服的行动。
Lord, here I am, all of me for you forever.
主啊，我在这里，一切永远的都为你。
As for the suffering, we don't choose that, do we?
就受苦而言，也不是我们自讨苦吃的，是不是？
God doesn't ask us to go out looking for suffering.
上帝并没有要我们去外面找苦头吃。
But in whatever small ways the lash or the crown of thorns or the nails may be given to us.
但是不管可能是在多么我们无法测试的方式里面，那个鞭伤、那个荆棘的冠冕、那个讥笑落在我们身上。
It is at that point that we have a choice to reject or to accept.
是在真正遭遇到的时候，我们有一个选择，是拒绝或者接受。
And when it comes to obedience, of course, we have a choice to obey or to disobey.
讲到顺服，当然我们也有一个选择的机会，要顺服或者不顺服。
And Jesus calls to you and me. He says, "Will you love me? Will you follow me? Will you do what I say?"
耶稣给我们一个选择：你爱我，你愿意顺服我，你愿意顺从我吗？
You remember those solemn words, that question when Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say?"
我们记得主耶稣所问的这个很严重的话：你们为什么称呼我主啊主啊，却不照着我的话来做呢？
And I just want to briefly tell you a little bit of the story of five men who obeyed God in what to them was a very simple and obvious way.
我就是愿意很概要地告诉你们五个人他们怎么样了解，就是很单纯的这样来顺服。
I remember the day after Jim and I had been married for a couple of years and the pilot with Missionary Aviation Fellowship came into our jungle station.
我记得我们结婚几年以后，有一个宣教航行协会的人来到我们的工厂的地方。
And he brought our usual supplies and mail and medicine and milk and things like that.But he also had a very exciting piece of news.
他带给我们补给品、信件等等的东西，但是同时也告诉我们有一个很兴奋的消息。
He said, "I've discovered where the Alka Indians live."
他说，我发现这个奥卡族的印第安人住在哪里。
For years, we had prayed that God would open a door for the gospel to be taken to Indians that had never been reached.
我们多年祷告，求神给我们机会，能够把福音带给一些。从来没有接触过福音的印第安人。
Nate, the pilot, knew more or less where they were, but he had never seen an inhabited Alcatraz from the air.
啊，这个飞行员他大概知道这些印第安人住在哪里，但是从来没有真正看见他们的村庄。
On this occasion, he said, "I've found them. I've seen real live people. I've seen smoke coming through the roofs."
啊，这一次他说我找到他们了，我看见他们，并且看见啊有这个有烟从他们住的地方飞上来。
So he outlined a plan which he called Operation Alka for dropping gifts to these people over a period of weeks.
所以他就把我们要怎样做这个叫做奥卡计划，我们准备在几个礼拜里面空投一些礼物给他们。
And he said to my husband Jim, "Would you like to join Operation Alka?"
他就问我先生 Jim, 你愿不愿意参加我这个奥卡这个行动，去那边工作
？Well, I can assure you that Jim did not drop to his knees and pray earnestly about his answer. He said yes so fast.
我可以告诉各位，我先生用不着跪下来迫切祷告寻求，他立刻答应。
Because he'd been praying for these people for years and had prayed specifically that God would give him the opportunity to go there.
因为他已经多年为这个机会祷告。
And so it was that over a period of about 15 weeks, gifts were dropped to these people and they appeared to accept them in a friendly manner.
所以啊，连续大概有十五个礼拜啊，不断的空投礼物，而当地的土族也好像啊很友善的来接受。
And in January of 1956, they felt that it was time to go into the edge of Alka territory and meet them on the ground.
在1956年1月，他们觉得时机成熟了，他们要到这个村落的边缘，能够面对面来跟这些人接触。
By this time, there were 5 men participating in this adventure.
所以到这个时候，一共有五个男士们参与这一个宣教的工作。
They made their camp. They prayed that God would bring the Alkas to them because they didn't want to go to the Alka houses and perhaps offend them.
他们啊已经扎营了。他们祷告求神带这些人来找他们。他们不愿意到他们住的地方，免得可能犯错冒犯当地的人。
And 4 very long days went by, and there was no sign of them. But on the 5th day, 3 Alkas showed up.
经过漫长的四天，毫无出现的迹象。但是到了第五天，有三个奥卡人来了。
The men radioed to their wives, to us their wives, and said, "We've had a friendly contact. Praise the Lord. Pray that the Lord will give us another contact."
所以他们透过无线电就告诉啊，我们这些太太们说，感谢主，我们开始有一个友善的接触了。
Well, you can imagine how thrilled and excited we wives were, and how earnestly we prayed.
各位可以想象，我们知道这个消息多么高兴，并且我们也就迫切地代祷。
And 2 days later, the pilot radioed that he had just flown over the territory again and had seen 10 Alkas on the trail headed toward the missionaries' camp.
再过两天，这个飞行员就啊用无线电告诉我们说，他飞过他们的地方，看见有十个奥卡人在那个羊肠小道上走，朝着这五个人驻营的地方去。
So he said, "We'll call you on the radio at 4:30."
他说我们四点半的时候会再跟你们通话。
But at 4:30, there was only silence.
到了四点半，却寂静无声。
It took 5 days to find out that all 5 of these men had been speared to death.
花了五天的时间，才最后发现这五个宣教士都被枪砸死。
And you can imagine the question that not only we 5 wives, but the whole Christian world was asking.
各位可以想象，不只是我们五个太太，整个基督教知道这个消息的都在问一个问题。
Why, Lord?
主啊，为什么？
5 young, dedicated, strong missionary men.
五个年轻的、献身的、有力的宣教士。
The very first time that the Alkas had ever been reached by anyone from the outside.
这是奥卡族第一次有外界人跟他们接触的。
The motive of the men, of course, was to take them the gospel of Jesus Christ.
这些人跟他们接触的主要的目的当然是要把福音带给奥卡族人。
Why would God allow the Indians to kill them?
为什么上帝容许印第安人就把这五个人杀死了呢？
We go back to that unchangeable word. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good.To them that love God.
但是我们回到圣经的话，万事互相效力，叫爱神的人得益处。
Now, of course, I could spend the next hour or two telling you very exciting stories of the wonderful things which have happened as a result of the death of those men.
我可以花很长的时间继续讲到这五个人死了以后，后来继续发生很奇妙的一些事情。
There have been some very exciting stories that have circulated that were not true.
有一些关于这样子的事情是渲染过分的。
And I think very many Christians take the view that God absolutely must explain himself by, for example, saving all the Alka tribe.
很多基督徒都以为上帝必须让我们了解为什么这五人会被杀，所以呢，最后这个奥卡族都信主了，这就是理由。
But suppose the whole Alka tribe became Christians. It's a very small tribe.
但是即使整个奥卡族都信主的，这个族的人还是很少。
It's not really our business, you know, to figure out what God is up to.
我们的责任不是想上帝到底要做什么。
You remember Job's immortal words, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
我们记得约伯这个不朽的话，他即使杀了我，我还要信他。
And after all, there certainly was nothing new about God allowing his servants to be killed.
而且上帝容许他的仆人被杀害也不是什么新闻。
He allowed John the Baptist to have his head chopped off.
他让施洗约翰被砍头啊。
He allowed John and Betty Stamm to have their heads chopped off.
他让 John 跟 Betty Stamm 也是被砍头啊。
He allowed Stephen to be stoned to death.
他让斯蒂凡被石头打死。
A very angry mother came to a minister one time during the war and she said, where was God when my son was killed?
在大战的时候，一个很生气的母亲跑去找牧师，说为什么上帝容许我的孩子被杀死了？
And the pastor said to her exactly where he was when his son was killed.
这个牧师回答他，完全就是他说上帝怎样让上帝的儿子被杀死，就是同样的理由。
God, the Lord of the universe, is engineering far more things than you and I have any business trying to understand.
上帝宇宙的主宰，他使万事动员起来，这远超过你我能够了解。
Do you think that the God that can keep the galaxies moving in perfect harmony can also run your life?
你相信这个让银河系统在非常精密的配合之下运转的，他也有能力来掌管你的人生吗？
Let's remember, it is to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, that we commit ourselves.
要记清楚，我们是献身委身给耶稣基督全地的主宰。
And if we want an explanation according to scripture as to why God allows certain things to happen,
如果我们真正想问为什么上帝容许某一些事情发生的话，那么照着圣经的回答，
The answer that satisfies me completely is found in John 12:24.
能够完全满足我的那个答案是在约翰福音十二章二十四节里。
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
一粒的麦子若不落在地里死了，人就是一粒，若是死了，就结出许多的籽粒来。
My old Bible teacher in Canada told of a lady who came up to him and said, Oh, Mr. Maxwell, I think I would die if God called me to be a missionary.
我的一个圣经的老师在加拿大的一个讲到说，有一个妇女跟他讲说，啊， Maxwell 先生，如果上帝宣召我，呼召我做宣召士，我会乐死。
And Mr. Maxwell said, Sister, do both.
This is the end of the message on side one. Please turn your tape over. It's time to hear the continuation on side two. Thank you, and God bless you.
If we do not first die,
想要做主的门徒，要愿意死。
Those five men were speared to death with wooden spears.
这五个年轻的宣教士被用木头所做的枪砸死。
But all five of them had died years before that.
但是他们不是在那个时候死，在奉献给主的时候，他们已经死了。
If you want to be my disciple, Jesus said, you must give up your right to yourself.
耶稣说, 如果你们要做我的门徒, 你就要舍己, 放下你自我的权利。
That's a death, isn't it? It's a painful death.
这是一个痛苦的死亡, 不是吗?
And when reporters came to us, widows, and said, why did those men go in there? Didn't they know any better?
当记者来访问我们这些未亡人的时候说，为什么他们要去那里？难道他们不知道那个危险吗？
Were they adventurers? Were they anthropologists? Or were they just plain stupid?
他们是探险者，他们是人类学者，或者他们是一群傻瓜呢？
And of course we tried to explain that it was none of the above.
那我们要向记者解释，都不是的。
And to some of them, I think I gave 1 John 2:17, which is the true explanation.
有的人以为我告诉他们，约翰一书二章十七节，这是一个真实的解答。
The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear, but the man who is following the will of God is part of the permanent and cannot die.
世界和其上的情欲都要过去，唯独遵行天父旨意的是永远长存。
It was a matter of simple obedience.
所以这个只是单纯顺服神的一个问题而已。
They were men under orders.
他们是有命在身的人。
Remember that verse that Jim had written in my yearbook?
记得我讲到在我年刊上Jim所写的话吗?
The soldier must be wholly at his commanding officer's disposal.
作为在军中当兵的，就完全听命他的元帅。
When Amy Carmichael received letters from prospective recruits for her mission in South India,
当贾爱梅收到一些信，是应征愿意到印度做宣教士的候选人的信的时候，
She would answer, we can offer you nothing exciting, nothing even interesting. We can offer you a pile of sand in the south tip of India in which to die.
他回信给他们说，我们不可能给你们什么有趣的刺激的事情，我只能够答应你，最后是在印度的南端一杯黄沙，葬身其此。
I would say to you most earnestly tonight that the only real contribution that you and I can make for the life of the world, for God's sake, is through sacrifice, suffering, and obedience.
所以我很真诚地告诉各位，我们为神在世上能够做的唯一的贡献，就是过着牺牲、受苦、顺服的生活。
But I'm not going to leave you right there.
不过我不是停在这里。
I'm one of millions who can testify that the way of the cross is the way of joy.
但是我也是让成千亿万的人能够做见证的，十字架的路也就是得喜乐的路。
As Pilgrim said in Pilgrim's Progress, he has given me rest by his sorrows, life by his death.
就好像《天路历程》里面那个主角基督徒他所说的，因为他的忧伤让我得到安息，因为他受死让我得生命。
When I think of sacrifice, I don't think primarily of loss and deprivation.
当我讲到牺牲的时候，并不只是讲到损失、剥夺。
I think of the privilege, the tremendous high privilege of offering myself to God.
我所想到的是那个 至高无上的特权，能够把我自己呈现给上帝。
You know the hymn that says, Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
圣诗很奇妙地讲到，这个爱是多么的奇妙，这个爱所要的是我的身心生命。
And when I think of my soul, my life, my all, I think, what kind of an offering is that?
当我想到我的生命，我的一切，我想那到底是什么？
What can he possibly do with that?
上帝要这些能够做什么？
Well, what could he possibly do with a little boy's lunch?
同样的，那个小孩子把他的午餐给主耶稣，耶稣能够做什么呢？
I've never forgotten a statement I heard when I was a college student.
我忘不掉我做大学生的时候听过的一句话。
In reference to the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000.
是关于耶稣让5,000人吃饱的这件事情。
If your life is broken when given to Jesus,
当你的生命
献给主而被破碎剥开的时候。
It may be because pieces will feed a multitude when a loaf would satisfy only one little boy.
也许破碎的碎片能够让众人得饱，但是完整的一个面包只能喂饱一个人。
So God gives us the privilege not only of giving ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice, but also on occasion of suffering.
所以神不只是给我们特权，能够当作活祭献给他，并且也有机会来受苦。
But He gives to every single one of us every single day the privilege of obedience.
他给我们每一个人每一天每一个机会来顺服他。
It's my prayer that there will be many here tonight who will commit themselves to that total self-abandonment that means discipleship.
我的祷告是今天在座有很多人愿意向神完全的舍弃自己，这就是真正门徒的代价。
Out of sacrifice comes life, out of suffering comes joy.
从牺牲产生生命，从受苦得到喜乐。
And obedience is always the safest course in the world.
而顺服永远是世上最安全的一条路。
Don't ever forget that the servant is not greater than his Lord.
不要忘掉主说，仆人不能高过主人。
May God give us grace to follow him, to love him, and to find that joy that he offers.
愿神恩待我们来跟随他，来爱他，并且经验得到这样子的道路真正的喜乐。